In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God in me. We are speaking about rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. And we spoke yesterday about 6 points to help us to rejoice in the Lord. Can you remind me? Number one, prayer. Number two, exactly, remembering the words of the Lord in our life. Number three, fellowship. Number four, repentance. Number five, to be filled with the Spirit. Number six, experience the presence of God in your life. Wonderful. Very good. Like in Hina, the key word is always. Always. Rejoice in the Lord always. And I can understand that we rejoice in the Lord when there is no hardships, when there is no trials, when there is no suffering. But how can I rejoice in the Lord in the midst of suffering? When there is hardship in my life, when there is some stresses or circumstances that does not bring joy, how can I rejoice in the Lord? وده اللي بنتكلم عليه النهارده. How to rejoice in the Lord in the midst of suffering and affliction, in the midst of hardships and trials. How you can keep your joy during this difficult time. وهقول لكم على 4 facts. 4 facts. When you keep these facts in your heart and you contemplate on these facts, actually, you will be able to rejoice in the Lord in the midst of hardship, suffering, affliction. The first fact, anything and everything in the hand of God can be turned into our benefit and our goodness. The hardship, the persecution, the punishment, anything, if you put it in the hand of God, can be turned into our benefit and into our goodness. And I can dare and say, even our sins, even when we sin, God can take this sin, if we return it back to Him and if we are with Him, and can make it for our benefit. Even sin, or if are, even sin. But this is not an encouragement to sin. Like in Hannah, the fact is, anything in our life, if we put it in the hand of God, can be turn it into our benefit. I want you, even when you are in the midst of sin, you don't feel that you are going to lose your joy. Because when you turn it back to God immediately, while you are even in the midst of sin, God will turn this to your benefit. And I will give you 2 examples. The first example is the sin of Adam and Eve. The sin of Adam and Eve definitely was separation from God. But if you think about it, when we put it in the hand of God, what did God do for us? Because of this sin, God became Son of Man. God took our nature, our humanity, and united this humanity with His divinity. And now, when He restored Adam and Eve, He did not restore them to their first state, but He restored them actually to a higher state, to be one with God, to to be partakers in the divine nature, as Saint Peter said. This is a higher esteem than when they sit before the fall. And actually, God now is dwelling inside us. God, we are His temple. You are the temple of God, and the Holy Spirit abides in you. Even the sin of Adam and Eve, when the humanity put it in the hand of God, God turned this sin into our salvation. Spirit in the divine liturgy, in the lesson of the Holy One, you, O Master, turn the punishment into salvation. And they say, so the punishment was turned into my salvation. Another example, St. Paul established a new church. This church was in Corinth. And after he left them, he found many, many problems in this new church. Separation, division, conflict, argument about gifts, especially the gift of tongue. The church of Corinth was full of conflict and problems. But there was a major problem happening in this church. And then a member, a believer in the church, actually committed adultery with his father's wife. And St. Paul actually was very, very disappointed. And though then such a sin is not named even among the Gentiles who do not know God, the unbeliever do not commit such sin. But now, in this very small church, you have this sin. And St. Paul was very, very upset, concerned about the service. What the sin will do to the church in Corinth? I think he was seeing that his service and ministry is like failing in the church of Corinth. And he sent them a very harsh letter. You should mourn, all of you should mourn over this person, and actually should excommunicate him. The wicked person, you should excommunicate him, because a small leaven can leaven the whole lump, as we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Hello, Kedah. But those who are, therefore put away from yourselves the evil person. Put away from yourselves the evil person. And when he sent this letter to them, they were grieved. They lost the joy. And actually everybody was grieving. St. Paul was grieving. The person who committed the sin was grieving. The whole church was grieving. After the epistle, these people put this sin in the hand of God. So God actually, as the Holy Spirit, start to convict them and to work in their hearts. And they repented. Everybody repented in this church, including the person who committed adultery. And he sent a letter to St. Paul to ask him whether he would forgive him and accept him back in the church or not. And they were not sure what would be the reaction of St. Paul. So they sent him a letter, and we see that he repented. So how are you going to deal with him? So St. Paul actually sent them the second letter to Corinthians. In chapter 2, Alonimus, you ought rather to forgive and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one be swallowed up with too much sorrow. Therefore, I urge you to affirm your love to him. فرح لهم if you forgive him, and if he is grieving, now no, you need actually to accept him, forgive him, and comfort him, lest he will be swallowed with too much sorrow. وبعد كده راح قال لهم بقى آية عجيبة أوي. عارفين قال لهم إيه؟ In the same chapter 2, بعد ما قال لهم forgive him and comfort him, in verse 14 راح قال thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. What are you talking about? Are you talking about victory now? And saying God leads us always in victory? Saint Paul actually saw in this very little experience victory. عارفين ازاي how we saw victory here? He explained it in chapter 7. قال لهم ايه؟ قال لهم شوفوا اوعى تفتكروا ان انا I was happy when I sent you my first letter in which it was harsh. قال لهم كده من بلدي يعني انا كتبت من ورا اي يعني اي كان لنا مرة second place in chapter 7 شوف يقول لهم ايه verse 8 Lord, even if I made you sorry with my letter I do not regret it though I did regret it. It's confusing. And Lord, my first letter made me sorry but I don't regret it though I regret it. يعني I don't regret it though I regret it. And Lord, I regret it because I didn't want to write to you in a harsh way and to make you sorry. But I did not regret it because I know when we place it in the hand of God, it will turn into victory. It will turn into joy. It will turn into our benefit. It will turn into goodness. فألهم إيه؟ I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. Observe this very thing. And ask the Talaxo, not the Muhammad. That your sorrow, your sorrow in a godly manner, what diligence it produced in you, what clearing of yourselves without, with what indignation, what fear, what vehement desire, what zeal, what vindication, in all things you proved yourself to be clear in this manner. Follow this negative experience, when you put it in the hand of God, actually, I'm a beginning to you. Ashkeda Lord, you saw it in a godly manner, deep putting it in the hand of God. Actually, made in your heart vehement desire, indignation, zeal, fear, the fear of God. All these positive virtues and attributes carried the fruit of this godly soul. فالهنا اللي انا عايز اوصله any situation, even if I am falling in sin, when I put it in the hand of God, it will turn into my benefit. And that's why I rejoice. زي ما سيد فول قال لهم كده, I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. I rejoice. ودي أول point, أول fact we should understand it. Why you are in any difficult situation. زي ما سيد فول قال in Romans chapter 8, we know that all things work together together for good to those who love God. All things work together for good to those who love God. Why St. Paul did not say most things? Because if he said most things, we will be questioning whether this thing will work out for good or not. But St. Paul said all things without exception. If it is sin, yes, if I put it in the hand of God, it will turn into good. If it is disease, if it is persecution from outside, if it is death, like the story of Lazarus this morning, if it is depression from inside, anything and all things work out for good to those who love God. So this is very fact. And when we understand this fact and we make this fact sit in our hearts, actually we will be happy and rejoicing even in the midst of suffering. Because we know that God will turn out this suffering, this punishment, this pain, this hardship into our benefit. And for this, we rejoice. We rejoice always. That's the first fact. The second fact. You are the investment of God. You are the investment of God. Yeah, you are the investment of God. If anybody starts a project or a business, do you think you will like this business to fail? Absolutely not. You're like, that's my investment. And you will try everything to make this business or this project succeed. Because that's his investment, that's his money. In the same way, we are the investment of God. God invested in us what? You were purchased, not by gold or silver or precious stone. But you were purchased by what? By his blood. So do you think God will make his investment fail? Absolutely not. God will try everything with us in order to see this, in order to make this project succeed. And technically, God is not like any one of us. Because God is all power. He can make his project succeed. Those who do not succeed because they choose to be outside the circle of God. And God respects our free will. But if we choose to be inside the circle, everybody inside this circle of God, to be with God, will succeed. Ashkira Rabbana and those in my hand, the evil one cannot touch it. Those who are in my hand, the evil one cannot touch it. Cannot touch it. As long as we are in his hand, we will succeed. We will succeed. Because God is, we are his investment. Then I'm Sir Paul, one of the foremost. Now the Ulum. All things work together for good to those who love God. To those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, then he also called. Whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. عشان كده سان بول عمل conclusion وقال لك what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Know this fact. If God is for us, who will be against us? We are the called people. We are His elect. We are His chosen one. So God definitely wants this investment to succeed. And because of this, we rejoice. And we are happy. Because even if we are surrounded by affliction, if we are surrounded by hardship, but we are in the hand of God, God will deliver us. God will deliver us. Let me give you example from the Bible. St. Paul, again, was very brave, very courageous man. So if St. Paul said, I lost hope, this means it's a very, very serious act. If St. Paul himself said, I lost hope, I don't have hope, this is very, very serious matter. St. Paul actually reached this situation. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. Alone, for we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond the measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Despair means what? We lost hope. A man, how can I absorb this? How can you rejoice while you are despairing of life and you lost hope? Can you rejoice? I think St. Paul, how he resolved it. He resolved it in a very actually powerful way. الآية اللي بعدها على طول بعد ما قال لهم إن إحنا so that we despair even of life and yes we had the sentence of death in ourselves. يعني we had the sentence of death. قال طبعا إحنا if we are dead can we have hope ولا لا؟ قال لك yes we can have hope because Christ can raise the dead from death. As he raised Lazarus after 4 days from the tomb. So even if I am dead and I cannot do anything, Lazarus didn't do anything. But I trust God that by his word he can raise me from the death of hopelessness. He can raise me from the death of helplessness. And when St. Paul resolved this, and we are dead, but we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. So even I want to think if Hadith Ruhaya told, I am like a person. I cannot do anything. I cannot even pray. I cannot even call on God. But I will trust God. I trust God, He is the hope, the hope in the little of the sick. He is the hope of the hopeless, and He is the help of the helpless. I trust God that by His word, He can raise me from the death of sin. زي ما نقول في الصلاة هي قبل التناول. قل كلمة فيبرأ تبرأ نفس. قل يا رب كلمة. Say just one word. Even if I don't have hope, even if I don't have faith, I think in Mark chapter 9, man brought his son to Jesus. Farabina Sarago, the usual question, do you have faith? Everything is possible for believers, he who believes. Now you example yourself, I don't have faith. Farah Ali was, I believe, but help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. So if I lost faith, even if I lost hope, if you call on God, would only help my unbelief, help my hopelessness, help my helplessness.
Say a word that I may be healed. Say a word that you may deliver me from this trial. I lost hope in life. I became desperate. I became desperate, despair even of life. Here the Lord will deliver you because you are his investment. And God will never allow his investment to fail. Ashakeda, listen in verse 10, what did he say, St. Paul? And who delivered us from so great a death, we were dead. And thus deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. He used deliver in the three tenses. Past, present, and future. Look again. Who delivered us, that's past tense. Does deliver us, present tense. In whom we trust that he will still deliver us. He will, future. So, that is the hope of St. Paul. Not he had hope in himself. Actually, he didn't have any trust in himself. Like, no, we are dead. There is no hope. But we trust God who raises the dead. He delivered. He does deliver. He will deliver. So if you know that, if you know that God delivered, does deliver, and will deliver, you will rejoice in the middle of affliction, in the middle of hardship. Because we are God's investment. And if God is for us, who can be against us? Nobody can be against us. If God is for us, who will be against us? So this is the second fact. When you keep it in your mind all the time, even in the middle of depression, even in the middle of hopelessness, you can rejoice because Christ raises the death, the dead from the dead. So even if I am dead, I cannot do anything. God will raise me and give me the power of life, because if God is for us, we'll be against us. Number three, the third fact. If our fact, all things work together for good to those who love God. Second fact, if God is for us, who will be against us? Third fact. Had only does any person he tried to save his investment, because that is all his resources, and if he lost his money, funds. Like in Benazwa Rabbina, even if he lost all this, he can make a new creation, can create a new creation for us. Yani, Benazwa Rabbina were not only his resources that actually make out of the dust a new creation better than us thousand times, million times. وربنا قال لهم كده لهم مش عارفين ربنا يقدر يفيد من هذا الحجارة ولا القوانين God can create out of these stones children to open. One time he said to Moses, just let me destroy these people in the wilderness of Sinai وأنا I will make you a great nation. فتقول لي why God will save us. أقول له لأن we are not only his investment, but God loves us so much. God loves us so much to the extent, as St. Paul said, but in Romans chapter 8, verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God loved us so much to the extent he did not spare his own son. He did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. يعني شوف محبة ربنا لدرجة إيه؟ إني he did not spare his own son. He allowed his son to die on the cross. For what? To save us. طب قول لي بقى ايه اغلى من ابن الوحيد بالنسبه لربنا؟ What is more precious for the Father more than His only begotten Son. Do you think in heaven more precious to the Father than His only begotten Son? Absolutely not. Even the heaven is not precious to the Father. There is nothing in the whole world and universe and cosmos is more precious for God than His only begotten Son. So actually, He did not spare the most precious being, His Son. What? For us, to deliver us. So, do you still have doubt how much God loved you? Do you still have doubt how much is determined to save you as long as you choose to be in His hand? Because again, God respects your free will. Don't you know that God is so determined and so insistent to save you and to deliver you from any hardship, from any suffering, from any persecution? Because you are His beloved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son for the life of the world. So you need to be sure how much God loves. So if God loves us that much, He will give us everything and all things. God gives us the kingdom of heaven, not because we deserve it, but because He loves us. God created us because He loves us. And as you hear that, when you are in the middle of hardship and suffering, to reflect on the love of God, with all in Rabbina, actually, if He did not spare His Son, then definitely He would deliver me from this tribulation or this hardship. Even if He did not deliver me from the hardship, but just being with me in the midst of the hardship, this is in itself deliverance. God actually did not deliver the three young men from the furnace of fire, but He was with them. God did not deliver Daniel from the lion's den, but He was with him. So even if God did not remove the hardship or affliction, but I rejoice because I know for sure God loved me, and God loves me, and God will love me forever. Let me give you an example on how God loves us. And when we remember this in the middle of affliction and hardship, we rejoice because we know God loves us. Saint Paul was arrested and he was in prison. And when he was in prison, some people became very, very active in ministry. Some people became very active in ministry for a good reason. Because there is a poor man in prison and he cannot preach. So when we preach and we spread the good news of the gospel, and St. Paul hears this in the prison, he will be happy. So we will preach more and be active more in ministry in order to make St. Paul happy in prison. And what? But there was another group. Another group wanted St. Paul actually can have limitations and restrictions on them. In Roma, they were from Jewish background and they were teaching that you should convert to Judaism in order to be saved. Yeah, you should keep all the Jewish law from circumcision, from purification, from sacrifices. You need to keep all the Jewish law in order to be saved. But as St. Paul alone, no. In Jewish law, there was like a simple, he introduced us to Christ, and we don't have to keep it. So Once St. Paul now became in prison, the person who put restriction on them, limitation on them, now they became very, very active. As in Jesus and Paul, they became very active actually to add more affliction to his suffering in prison. But let us read what was his reaction when he knew any these people are preaching more. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. Philippians 1, verse 12. You know me. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherness of the gospel. You know, Nana, when I was placed in prison, this actually turned into the furtherness of the gospel. And being in prison, that contributed to the furtherness and preaching of the gospel. So that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord have become confident by my chains, confident by his chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. طب تعمل ايه يا سنتور؟ تعمل ايه وانت you know people actually are preaching the gospel in order to add affliction to your chains. And on what then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preaching. And in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. طب I rejoice how deep. And in that, هتفرح كده. لكن حكاية and will rejoice. Why is it was a future? ده نيرون ممكن بكرة يعني يعدمك. Maybe he will sign the sentence of your execution tomorrow. How do you say, I will rejoice? Gal in verse 19 or for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. I know what I'm going to do. If I am released, I will live for Christ. And if I die, actually it's good for me. For to me, to live is Christ and to die is Him. For if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two, having desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain the flesh is more needful for you. For St. Paul, Alumum, even in the middle of this affliction, even while I am in prison, and people actually are preaching Christ out of strife and envy, to add affliction and to add pain more to my chains, but I rejoice. And I will rejoice. Why you rejoice? Why? Alone the man I know in everything will turn out my deliverance. Why are you so sure that everything will turn out your deliverance? Because Christ loves you. Because God did not spare his only begotten Son, but actually delivered him up for my sake. So I know everything will turn out for my deliverance. Even if I die, even if Nerone killed me, death is gain. And if I live, I live for Christ. So, what shall I choose? I should have that. I'm choosing between two good options. One option is to die, and this is good options. I live with Christ, which is far better. And if I live, I live for Christ too. So, I rejoice, and I will rejoice. When we are so sure that God loves us, whatever situation we are in, whatever circumstances you are in, whatever affliction or suffering or prison you are in, we will be happy and rejoicing because God is with us. God did not spare His only begotten Son, but He delivered us. So how come He will not give us everything with Him? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Even the first fact, all things work together for good to those who love God. Second fact, you are God's investment. God's investment. And if God is for us, who will be against us? Number three, God loves us to the extent He did not spare His Son, but delivered Him out for us. Number four, the last fact. And every this, what about the complainer? What about Satan, who complains all the time against us? What about Satan? Satan, his job is to bring charges against us. زي ما عمل مع أيوب. رح ربنا قال له, do you think in Ayub this is worshiping you or serving you freely? And there just if you allow them to suffer, He will blaspheme your Lord. So, what would we do in this situation? St. Paul actually answered this, but before I read the answer, let me explain it to you. Imagine that you have a case in the court. And this case is loss-loss. There is no hope you will win this case. All the charges against you. Everything is against you. And the prosecutor is very harsh against you. And he has all the evidences against you to condemn you. And you know also that the judge is very fair and very just. فأتحس كده القضية دي خسرانة خسرانة. But the trick here is this just is also working as lawyer, as attorney. طبعا ده in the يعني world setting can never happen. And if a judge or lawyer is the same time. And this lawyer accepted to take your case. The lawyer who is the judge at the same time accepted to take your case because he saw in you an mentor. You admit your mistakes. You admit that, yes, يعني كل charges against you are right, but you are serious in your repentance. So, this judge, who is also your lawyer, approved to take your case. Do you think you will lose the case? But he is a lawyer and he is a judge. So he's a lawyer on your side and he is a judge. He will justify you. He will justify you out of firmness and out of love. God is our judge, but also He is our lawyer, He is our attorney, He is on our side. That's exactly what St. Paul said in Romans chapter 8. نقرأ مع بعض كده from verse 33. بيقول, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Do you think Satan will dare to bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Satan will not dare to bring a charge against us because Satan knows that God loves us and God is the judge and God will justify us. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen. So the charges been taken care of. Christ died and risen. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Makes intercession for us, yani, he's our ruler, he's our attorney. He's defending us. Well, yes, all these charges, خلاص, they are innocent. They are justified in my blood. I died for them. I accepted their repentance. So I am their lawyer. I am defending them. So the Lord Jesus Christ is our lawyer and our judge. It is the Son who judges the world. So our case will be a win-win situation. It is a win-win situation because the lawyer is our judge. And the lawyer took care of the charges by himself. He died and he rose again. But the only thing I need to be, to choose to be God's elect, choose to be in his hand, to choose to be with him. And once I am with him, it is a win-win situation. But if I separate myself from him, that's here I'm taking big regress. I should get in verse 35 and who shall separate us from the love of Christ? You should really understand this verse, who hinders me from loving Christ. But actually, in this context, the verse doesn't mean this. The verse means, who will hinder Christ from loving me? Nothing can prevent him or hinder Christ from loving me. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, her soul, nothing can prevent God or hinder God from loving me, because he is our lawyer and he is our judge. And so when you are in the middle of hardship or middle of suffering, whether it is spiritual suffering, whether it is physical suffering, name any kind of suffering, psychological suffering, you need to remember these two facts. Number one, all things work for good. All things work for good for those who love God. So, if you put this experience in his hand, I promise you, it will end up for your benefit. Second fact, in Nechna, we are his investment. We are his chosen one. We are his elect. And if God is for us, who will be against us? God will never lose his investment as long as we choose to be in his hand. Because again, God respects our free will. Number three, God loved us so much to the extent that he did not spare his only begotten Son, but delivered him up. So, do you think it will be impossible for God to give us joy and peace in the midst of suffering? He gave us the most precious thing, most precious being, his Son. And number four, God will take care of all the charges against us, because he is our lawyer and he is our judge. He is standing, interceding on our behalf all the time. Before himself, he is the judge, he is the lawyer, and he is the one who paid the charges. So, why should we worry? Why should we worry? We should be joyful and happy and peaceful even in the midst of any tribulation. Glory be to God forever.
Now we have 7 minutes before I leave, so if you have any questions, please leave me 7 minutes.
Does anyone have any questions to say?
About violence and drugs. So as you all know, there's a lot of violence in the news, a lot of people die. for no reason, it seems. So I'd like to know, how do we feel secure in God's love for the families who survive, people who have died so mercilessly? How do they feel as though God really loves them? And how are they expected to rejoice when their loved ones have died so brutally?
Even in the middle of violence, let us study our church history, a time of martyrdom. Although people were dying and they suffered very, very harsh persecution, but God was in the midst of this suffering and this pain, and actually turning this pain into comfort, into consolation. As I said yesterday, our joy is not dependent on the circumstances. Like St. Paul was in prison, maybe he will be executed the next day. But the presence of God in the middle of the situation that gives us joy and hope. Maybe in the family, as long as there is violence or there is persecution or there is suffering, this means there is no joy. Like if God in the midst of the violence or persecution or suffering, God is able to make us rejoice in the midst of the suffering. And in Thessaloniki, they lost many, many loved ones. And they start to grieve. So St. Paul actually addressed this point in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Along by we lost loved ones. So what should we do about these people? How can we rejoice after we lost those loved ones? We can take persecution to the same. I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest your sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice, the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Will therefore comfort one another with these words. And how as we were sorrowful because they lost their loved one because of this persecution. Samuel alone, that is the maximum they can do, not to kill us. But after this, they cannot do anything. And those who die in Christ, don't be sorrowful against and for them. Because God will bring them glory. They are in a far better situation right now. That's our faith in the resurrection of Christ. So the resurrection of Christ gives us joy and comfort regarding those who died in Christ, even in time of violence, even in time of in persecution. How those who remain alive will not precede those who died in Christ, but then I give them in his clouds, and they will come in glory, alone comfort one another with these words. So, the resurrection, the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and also we will be raised from the dead, this brings joy in the middle of this suffering and the middle of this. Any other questions?
Yes, I do.
Yes.
If I may ask a question about yesterday's topic.
Sure.
You mentioned a point when St. Paul asked God to heal his eyes, and you said that he got an answer, and God explained to him why he didn't want to heal him. And you said, when it says ask, you shall receive, it's ask, you shall receive an answer. My question, I guess, is sometimes we ask things of God, but we only get a yes-no answer. We don't really see the reasoning. And sometimes, I guess, you have to go by faith and time will tell. But is it wrong to expect an answer, an explanation to the answer? Up to which point do you have to rely on your faith?
It is not wrong to expect explanation, but it is wrong to expect explanation immediately, right now. Because God maybe will give his explanation sometime later. As he said to Peter, you don't understand what I'm doing right now, but you will understand it. And many times God actually gives immediate explanation, but we don't accept this explanation. That's why this explanation doesn't sound logical to us, and we reject it. So there is explanation, but we are, more determined to what we want. That's why we don't accept the explanation that's given to us from God. And I would take this and put it out. How your grace will help with me, when I am in. Actually, if I see and if I don't have these answers, I will send better. Can't you send your grace while I'm strong, while I'm healthy? If St. Paul start to doubt and think this way, there is an explanation. But St. Paul actually rejecting the explanation. Many times, I reject the explanation. But St. Paul asked God, Allah. Now, that's the way of God. Actually, I rejoice in my infirmities, that the grace of God may come upon me. This is the end of the world. If God knew in advance as he knows everything, why did Satan work against us? Why he is putting us in a difficult choice? And he knows that I will sin and make mistakes of if he knows everything. Because again, God respects our free will. One of the three things that differentiate us from animals is free will. And Fidar Hagati Faraona from other beings. Free will, intellect, and immortality. And we are immortal beings, we have free will and not intellect. So this is one of the three important elements that differentiate us from animals. And God respects our free will very, very much. And free will means you have to have the choice to sin. If God takes this choice away from you, then you don't have free will. And if you don't have free will, then you are not choosing to live with God by your choice. Then why you will be rewarded? But the God's command is not going to be able to do it. God's command is not going to be able to do it. He's not going to be able to do it. He's not going to be able to do it. Just because he has no other choice. That's why he's living with me. So that will stick us very, very much. Respect our free will. Ya'ulu. Not a tanya. In the problem of sin, God gives us a solution. That even yes, with our free will, we may choose to sin. But God gives us a solution to this. So what's your problem? You have a solution. Second, if repentance and confession. His blood is open every day, given to us for salvation, remission of sins, and eternal life is also partaken. That Satan, if God is with us, will be against us. So God plus me are not going to say. Yes, Satan can attack us, but at the end, if God is with me, I will win. So what's the issue here? What's the issue here? Actually, God solved all these issues for us. All what we need to do to be in His hand, to trust that He loves us. If any suffering, I'm working to God when it comes to suffering. Remember, many times we blame God for suffering. Again, suffering is not from God. Suffering is not from God. But in God, in the midst of suffering, be with us. Think now when we suffer, we ask God, why? Why God allow this to happen? Why? Suffering does not come from God. Shkiri Lord in 1:30. Don't say I'm tempted from God, because God is not tested, is even Anna does not think in the past. Now, we should know in suffering comes from safety, from the corruption in the world, from my own personal choices, my mistakes. Like even when I suffer because of these things, God can deliver me. Deliver, does deliver, and will. Thank you very much. God bless you all.
So I'd like to thank His Grace Bishop Yusuf for being with us. It was really nice.